palm or palm branch from the curved palm shape. In one of the movies I like to watch, it, and that's so true, the open hand of the submission. And if you want to go check it, it's on the Planet of the Apes movie. I think one of the first one. And when the monkey, Head Caesar, when he takes over, the one monkey that was thought he was bad, he puts his hand out like that under submission. So even the monkeys know. The stomach. This letter is pictured as stomach, which is a thorn and has the meaning of pierced and sharp. It can also carry the meaning of a shield, as thorn bushes were used by shepherds to build a wall to enclose his flock in the night against the attack of predators. Another meaning would be to grab hold of, as thorn is a seed that clings to hair and clothing. I mentioned this a while back. You want to know where they got barbed wire fences from, the idea. This is where they put it at to keep their predators from coming over the top of the wall. The pay. This letter is an ancient script. It's pictured as pay, which is an open mouth, and it carries the meaning of speak and blow from the functions of the mouth, and can have the meaning of scatter by blowing. It can also mean sword or beard, as in a thing with edges, as well as a region of depicting a place with edges or boundaries. It can also represent that which has been spoken forth from the word of one's mouth as being established. When we consider these three letters in the understanding of the word silver as representing the redemption price bought to us by the blood of Messiah, we were able to see the following pictures. The open hand of Elohim, as revealed to us through Yeshua Messiah, was pierced for our transgression and took the thorn sin upon himself, having been nailed in his hands and feet, becoming a shield to those who call upon him and grab hold of his commands as spoken in his word. So thankful for that. We couldn't pay that price. Go back and read the story. Just go to that part of the story. Read what was going on in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. You know, these guys that wrote the story about Yeshua, what he went through, what they witnessed. It was horrible. Graphic. I mean, they got that movie, The Passion of the Christ, if you've seen it. And just that one scene when they got him to that whipping pole, when they're whipping him, it's graphic. Very graphic. So thankful that our half shekel has been paid. After his resurrection, when Messiah showed Thomas, his hands that took the nails, Thomas acknowledged the redemptive work of Yeshua Messiah, and he called him his master in Elohim. Thomas now fully believed the word of Elohim, and he was told that those who believe and have not seen. In Yohanan, John 20, 27 through 29, then he said to Thomas, bring your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it in my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my master and my Elohim. Powerful word. Yeshua said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. Here we are today. We're blessed because we're just going by the words was spoken, the faith, and we believe in that the price, the redemption price that was paid for us, and what he went through. So we, I mean, I know we kind of joke on Thomas and, you know, be a doubting Thomas, but you know, man, some people need that. I really need a seat. I ain't going to say like somebody from the show me state, but let's move on. Because, boy, I tell you, we got some good stuff ahead of us. Our true redemption is in Yeshua Messiah, who is the open hand of Elohim that took our sin upon himself, as spoken in his written word that does not return empty. Amen. verse 18 through 21, bronze basin for washing. The bronze basin. In Exodus 30, starting at chapter 30, verse 17, and Yehovah spoke to Moshe, saying, and you shall make a basin of bronze, with its stands also of bronze for washing. And he shall put it between the tent of appointment and the slaughter place, and shall put water in it. And Aharon and his son shall wash from it their hands and their feet when they go into the tent of appointment, or when they come near the slaughter place to attend, to burn an offering made by fire to Yehovah. They wash with water, lest they die. No, serious. Lest they die. They had to do it right. No different for us today. We got to make sure we're doing it right. We got to go back and check. Don't just take my word here tonight because I'm the speaker. Go check what I'm saying because I got some stuff here I'm going to lay on y'all here in just a moment. And they shall wash their hands and their feet, lest they die. I think it was important to say it twice. And it shall be a law forever to them, to him and his seed through their generation. Bronze basin for water. The laver was a bronze, verses 18 through 21. The laver was a bronze basin that stood on a base about midway between the slaughter place and the tent of appointment. Shemot, Exodus 40, 30. It was most probably round and of considerable size, although its exact shape and size are not stated in Scripture. However, we may summarize that the stand was separate since it was always mentioned separately. Here's a picture of it. Real good picture. In verse 18, we see what the purpose for this bronze basin was. And that was for washing. And the Hebrew word that is translated as washing comes from the root word rahat, Strong's 7364, which means to wash, wash off, bathe, wash away. And differs to the Hebrew word that is also translated in the scripture as wash, which is kasab, Strong's 3526, and carries the meaning washing away by trending or washed by the trampling of the feet. And this word carries a picture of washing one's garment. And you can see this labor is very important. And we're going to find out that they didn't just grab the water and muddy the water. That's a little later on we're going to get to it. They used their little bowl and got water and rinsed off, cleaned their hands and their feet, because you need the labor to do what? Looking to see yourself, your reflection. You ain't going to see yourself in muddy water. Just a while back, the river was nice and clean. Fish were biting. It was abundant. Now go look at it. The river raised. It's muddied up. You ain't catching nothing. You can't even see it. It's so muddy. But it's the same thing as what he's saying. In other words, they would not put their dirty hands and feet into the bronze laver and wash, but would use the bowls and basin that were made for the labor, and take water from the bronze labor and wash from it, therefore washing next to it. Some of us, we probably wouldn't want to muddy the water to not see our reflection. So the Torah here, this is your labor. Think about it. You get your reflection in here. Sometimes it's a little muddy. We don't like it. While this may sound obvious, it is important for us to recognize this, as it pictures for us a clear understanding of how the bronze laver should not be muddied by the dirt from the priest's hands and feet, but that they wash next to it by taking water from it, using the basin and the bowls that were prepared for this. So this was, going through this, I was thinking about the, some of our past messages, how you... When you get into the Torah, you just want to, don't really want to see. But we have no choice. You're commanded. We got your head lifted. Your half shekel has been paid. If not, you in the wrong church. Why I say this is a very important picture for us to understand is that we take note of a very serious woe that is given to a corrupt priesthood that muddies the water and teaches people falsehood. Now we're about to get to this next slide. I think there's the next slide coming up. But anyway, when I got to this part of the Torah and to the reading, and it talks about the priest muddying the water, I think of myself as tonight about a roller coaster. So you get on that roller coaster, I remember for the first time, boy, and I feel a nervousness coming on. Hard for me to get on that. I've never rode a roller coaster in my life. And let me tell you, boy, you talk about your heart racing and pumping, and it goes so smooth. Boy, just going up, and coming down. It gets bumpy. It gets twisted, and boy, I tell you, look, you glad when you get to the end of the ride. And that last one we rode really done me in. Let me tell you, I said, Mr. Steele, that's the last of the last right here. I told the lady next to me, I said, don't grab me. You in a bind. Don't grab me. So boy, look, this is what happens when you muddy the water. This is the stuff they're preaching out there. Because it's nonsense. It really is. The bronze laver represents for us the place where we come to be washed in the purity of the Word. As we allow the mirror of the Word to show us how our hands work and feet walk are to be cleansed every day before we can serve faithfully as a set-apart priesthood. So you just don't come off the street and jump straight into ministry. You need teaching. You need some discipline. It took me a while to get here because I had to learn. I can't just, you'll just walk up here, I tell you that. It'd be like my first teaching here, boy. I think I went through in less than 30 minutes. But we learn. This is what the Torah teaches, how we grow. And right now, we got the word last week, we should be able to start teaching. We're no longer on the milk. Anyway, we should be on the meat. When Yehezkel was told, this is Ezekiel, was told to prophesy against the shepherd, a serious woe was given to the shepherds who were feeding themselves and not taking care of the flock, that is the people, and we see how they had muddied the water and caused the people to drink the muddy water while they themselves drink of the pure. All right. We're here. We're on the roller coaster right now. Because I'm going to have to put this slide on hold, because when I got to this slide, it was troubling to me. I told Brother Chad, I shared Brother Chad a little dream twice on two separate occasions. Every time I came to speak, it happened just last week. And it happened just a few weeks ago when Pastor him, when it was all up in Indiana. Every time I came to speak, it was like my mouth in my dream, because I was telling people in the Torah, in my dream about the Torah. I was trying to explain to them because this is what we should be practicing. We got loved ones out there. You know, we got a lot of unsaved family, more or less friends than everybody else. But I'm just family-wise. I'm in my dream. I'm trying to witness my family, but my mouth, it's like being glued shut. Like, have you ever seen that movie, The Matrix? And there's that one part on there. How can you speak if you can't even open your mouth? It's like my mouth was being glued together. So let me tell you, I woke up and my brother and I, when I got to the slide, it was troublesome to me because I woke up so early in the morning. I've been having trouble sleeping. You know, when it comes time for me to speak, I can't rest at ease because I'm depending on Yah to give me a word and what I want to say. And when I got to the slide, I can't just briefly read what's here. Because I need you to see it in the entirety of what he's talking about. I know right here he said, it's not enough for you to have eaten up the good pasture, and the rest of your pasture you trample with your feet, or that you should drink of the clear water, and the rest of your muddy you muddy with your feet. Good question. And as for my flock, they eat what you have trampled with your feet, and they drink what you have muddied with your feet. You know, so if you don't go to Yehezkel and see what he's talking about, you're going to miss the importance of it. And I just want to, now we're on the roller coaster. We're at the top and we're about to come down. Because what I'm going to read here, It's very important. And we're going to see it's for us today. It's for the Torah keepers. If it's not for you, by all means, exclude. Hey, leave. It don't matter. And I'm not going to worry what they say to me tonight. We got a message for the when we finish in Ezekiel, we're going to Yeshua. And we're going to see what Yeshua said. This is going to be for the New Testament people. I'm glad we tuned in live tonight because I hope they're watching. And then from there, we're going to take another little journey into the New Testament. I'm going to show you how we mean about this woe. What we're going to get to because this is serious. It says in the Hebrew 59:92. Yeah, I told you I had a slide. For it's maya. It means lamentation. Wailing, mourning song, mourning, in mourning, because it's so bad. See, we don't get to the picture of this little word, three-letter word, woe. But it's misery and sorrow and distress, a condition of deep suffering from misfortune, affliction, or grief, ruinous trouble, calamity, affliction. Say, brother, where are you going with all that? I'm glad y'all asked that. In Yehezkel 34, and the word of Yehovah came to me saying, not the word of Scott, not the word of Pastor, not the word of Josh, or Chad, it's the word of Yehovah. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, thus says the master Yehovah to the shepherds. Woe to the shepherds. I know one thing tonight, there's a lot of shepherds in the world today. And you know what? And you, my friend, you are shepherds. You say, well, brother, we sheep. In here, you might be some sheep. Once you get out these doors, you are shepherds. So this applies to you, too. Because what we have to do on a daily basis, when we're out there in the world, we witness for him. I told you, we got our license last week from Yeshua, or a week before when I spoke. He said, you're going to be witnesses for me. Or that word could have been shepherds. Because you will encounter someone that you're gonna be a light to. So don't think this word is for the pastors or whoever's in leadership. It's for you too. Woe to the shepherds of Israel. And by the way, you are Israel. Who have been feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and you put on the wool. You slaughter the fatlings. You do not feed the flock. Let me tell you, when I got through all this, and I was like, had the question, yeah, are you sure? And it was a weeping moment in my hours in the morning when I went through all this. You have not strengthened the weak, nor have you healed the sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back the strained, nor sought what was lost, but you have ruined them with might and harshness. And they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. And my sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth. And no one was seeking or searching for them. These are some tough words. We got a job to do. After tonight, it don't matter. They talk about me. I don't care. Let them. Remember the slide? You know what they say about? Let them. But trust me, we're going to get to them too. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of Yehovah. As I live, declares the master Yehovah, because my flock became a prey, and my flock became food from every beast of the field, from not having a shepherd, and my shepherds did not search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. I tell you, that's a lot of that going on around the world. It ain't just on TV. We know it's on TV, but it's all over. And we know this for a fact. We know that for a fact. They're feeding the people a lot of stuff. They feed them. They turn around and look, pay me for it. Look, buy my food. Really? Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of Yehovah. I'm glad it's his word. It ain't just me. I might be the speaker, but it's His word. Thus says the Master, Yehovah. See, I am against the shepherd. Uh-oh. That's us. And shall require my flock at their hand, and shall make them cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more. And I shall deliver my flock from their mouths, and they shall no longer be food for them. For thus says the Master Yehovah, see, I myself shall search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so I shall seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered in a day of cloud and thick darkness. Now, most of us in here, we should know that day is coming. And if you don't know, we know that day is coming. You know, I told my mom just the other day, and I hope she's watching tonight. I said, y'all be getting this false, bringing the false message. Because where we're going to go here a little later on, I know it's false. Because the word tells me it is. And I shall bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the lands. And I shall bring them into their own land. You know, we got land somewhere else. And I shall feed them on the mountains of Israel and in the valleys and in all the dwellings of the land in good pasture. Not just anywhere. We might be in Goshen. I shall feed them. And their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. They shall lie there in good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I shall feed my flock and make them lie down, declares the Master Yehovah. And I shall seek out the lost and bring back the strayed. And I shall bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick. But the fat and the strong I shall destroy. I shall feed them with right ruling. Stuff. I'm telling you. There was more in here that you can go dig up. We didn't have to just stop here, but oh, I tell you, this you can only contain so much in just a few short days until you can come here and empty out. Because boy, I've been having this bottled up for quite a few days. I'll feed us with right ruling. We know about right ruling. That's what we read the Torah for. That's what it's teaching us, right ruling. Don't judge by the sight of our eyes and the hearing of our ears. That's what men do. Not what he does. And as for you, O my flock, thus says the Master Yehovah, see, I am judging between sheep and sheep, between rams and goats. It is not enough for you to have eaten up the good pasture, and the rest of your pasture you trample with your feet. Oh, that you should drink of the clear waters, and the rest you muddy with your feet. Slide. And as for my flock, they eat what you have trampled with your feet, and they drink what you have muddied with your feet. Yeah. It's all right. We eating the dirt. They talking about you. They talk about when you go to work. They talk about you behind your back. It's okay. Let them. Then we eat it. You know, hey, look. I heard some stuff with these ears. I hear it. Therefore, thus said the Master Yehovah to them, see, I myself shall judge between fat and lean sheep, because you have pushed with flank and shoulder and thrust at all the weak ones with your horns and scattered them abroad. Therefore, I shall save my flock. Hallelujah. And let them no longer be a prey. No matter. Let them. Who has you? What did Yeshua say? You're in my hands. And no one is able to pluck you out of my hand. And he said, better than that, we're in the Father's hands. No one is able to pluck us out of his hand. And I shall raise up over them one shepherd, my servant Dawid, and he shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, Jehovah, shall be their Elohim, my servant David, a prince in their midst. I, Jehovah, have spoken. And I shall make a covenant of peace with them, and make evil beasts cease from the land. They shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the forest. And I shall make them and the places all around my hill a blessing, and shall cause showers to come down in their season. Showers of blessing are they. And the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth yield her increase, and they shall be safe in their land, and they shall know that I am Jehovah when I have broken the bars of their yoke. And I shall deliver them from the land of those who enslaved them, and they shall no longer be a prey for the nations. And the beasts of the earth shall not devour them, and they shall dwell safely with no one to make them afraid. Don't have to fear. It's okay. Let them. Right now they're crazy out there. Chaotic. It's chaos out there. It's okay. And the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth yield her increase, and they shall be safe in their land, and they shall know that I am Jehovah when I have broken the bars of their yoke, and I shall deliver them from the hand of those who enslaved them, and they shall no longer be a prey for the nations, and the beasts of the earth shall not devour them, and they shall dwell safely with no one to make them afraid. And I shall raise up for them a planting place of name, and they shall no longer be consumed by hunger in the land, nor bear the shame of the nations any more, and they shall know that I, Jehovah, their Elohim, am with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the Master Jehovah. And you, my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men. And I am Elohim, declares the Master Jehovah. Very powerful passage of Scripture. What we are today, we are flock together. And here, we're under a shepherd. But when you're outside them doors, you are the shepherd. There are many flocks out there, many sheep that's in need. You say, brother, that's the prophet, Old Testament. That really don't have nothing to do with us. We're the New Testament church. We're not under all that laws and stuff like that. You know what? Here we go. Roller coaster ain't over. Let's go to Matthew 23. For all my New Testament believers, let's see the words of Yeshua. You didn't want to hear it from Jehovah, so you want to hear from Yeshua. Let's see what Yeshua says. Starting at verse 23, starting at verse 12. And whoever exalts himself shall be humble, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. But woe to you, you scribe, you Pharisee, and you hypocrites. That's what he called them. New Testament. I might have to do like Paul. He might have to escort me out of here after all these woes. These woes are serious. Because you shut up the rain of the heavens before men, for you do not go in, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes, and you Pharisees, and you hypocrites, because you eat up widows' houses, and for a show make long prayers. Because of this you receive greater judgment. We're not liking Yeshua already. We in Matthew? We in New Testament? What he says, whoa, you Pharisee, you hypocrite. And look, he's using good words. We translate these words today in English, we might have to rewrite the King James Version. Oh boy, let's get back to it. It says, woe to you, verse 15, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you go about the land and the sea to win one convert. And when he is one, you make of him a son of Gehenna, twofold more than yourself. Now the King Version of it, he said you make him a son of hell.
whoop.
You can't say that. Yeah. You make him a son of hell. Really? Yeshua said that? All right. Woe to you, you blind guides. That's what he called them. But he used some choice words here. Although when I got to this point, I thought about that. I said, well, you don't want to follow the Torah. Let's follow Yeshua well. Because that's what you want to be. That's what he said. He said, woe to you, you blind guides, who say whoever swears by the dwelling place, it doesn't matter. But whoever swears by the goal of the dwelling, by the dwelling place is bound by oath. Fool and blind. He said, which is greater? The goal or the dwelling place that sets the goal apart? And whoever swears by the slaughter place, it does not matter. But whoever swears by the gift that is on it is bound by the oath. Fool and blind. He goes, boy, Yeshua is letting him have it. But I'm going to do what he did. I'm going to let him have it. Fool, blind. Which is greater? The gift or the set apart place that set the gift apart? He then who swears by the slaughter place swears by it and by all that is upon it. And he who swears by the dwelling place swears by it and by him who is dwelling on it. Wow. And he who swears by the heaven swears by the throne of Elohim and by him who is sitting upon it. Woe to you. You see how them woes? Just from that one right here. That one little woe. Scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. Because you tied the mint and the anise and the cumin and have neglected the weight of marriage of what? Torah. What are we learning here? Torah. He said it right himself. Oh, let me go to English version. Law. Really? And you're tying the weight of matter of the Torah. The right ruling. Where you learn right ruling? You sure don't learn them in the back of the book because we're about to go to the back of the book. And the back of the book is going to be pretty much you won't listen to Yehovah, you won't listen to Yeshua. So I'm going to show you what the back of the book, what it's talking about. We're going to learn the right ruling. And the compassion and the belief. These need to have been done without neglecting the others. How are you going to get them done if you don't know who Yehovah is? If you don't know what he's trying to say to you? If you don't know his teachings, what he likes and what he doesn't like? This is what we've been learning. You got to get this stuff. If not, woe to you. You bunch of hypocrites. Oh, boy. I had some fun with this. I'm going to tell you, I was preaching to myself. I went over this 2-3 times. I said, I was making myself happy when I got to these parts. Oh, boy. Especially this next verse. Verse 24. You blind guides. You strain out a gnat, swallow a camel. Boy, he's really letting them out. Oh, boy. Wow. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. New Testament church, huh? Where he's at? New Testament church. Because you clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are filled with plunder and unrighteousness. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish so that the outside of them becomes clean too. Are you clean the inside? Oh, dig back in here. You got to peek to the labor. That's what the labor's for, to see yourself. Like I had to see myself. Oh boy. Woe to you, you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you like whitewashed tombs. But outwardly, indeed, look well. But inside were filled with dead man's bones and uncleanliness. That's so true. Because we had a couple graves popped over and grand by during the storm. And let me tell you, all I see is bones. All I see is death. There's no talking going on in there. They not moving. They ain't doing nothing. They stink. Up and seal it back up. Close it off. But the outside looks good because we paint it. And that matter of fact, there's a tradition. Every year, you got to go, coming up, you got to go paint them white. For what? The inside of them is nasty. full of uncleanness. So you too outwardly indeed appear righteous to men, but inside you are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness. You too, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tomb of the prophets and decorate the monuments of the righteous, and say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would have not taken part with them in the blood of the prophets. Thus you bear witness against yourselves that you are sons of those who did murder the prophets, and you fill up the measure of your fathers. Serpents, brood of adders. He's letting them have it right here. But you know what? He's staying in the guidelines of the Torah. He's not letting his flesh overrun himself. By this time, we'd have done lost it. This is what the Torah teaches us. How to respectfully do it. In the guidelines. Don't cut outside the line. Stay in the line. Stay in the perimeters. Serpents, broad of adders, how would you escape the judgment of Gehenna? We know what King James says right there. Because of this, see, I send you prophets and wise men, and I like this part, scholars of Scripture. Huh? I don't even have to go to college to know this stuff. All you got to do is open the Word. And for those who can't read, all right, they got videos that you can watch, or you can hit the Bible app and it'll play for you. So we have zero excuse. By now, what we were taught last week, we should be on the meat, because why? What do you want you to be? A scholar of the Scripture. Not go on Facebook and post your certificate of your next graduation or your next attaboy, whatever you're looking for. Yahweh don't need that. He needs you to be a student of the Scripture. Why? Because you need to go teach, because you are a shepherd. Y'all can say it. You're what? Shepherds. So this roller coaster, it's rough. Some of them, you shall... Out of the Scripture. Some of them you shall kill and impale, and some of them you shall flog in your congregation and persecute from city to city. Some of them you shall kill. Yeah, okay. So you're gonna be persecuted. You're gonna be talked about. You're not gonna be liked. Today I was telling my wife that we had a little family post come over here, 4 or 5 in the family, mom's side. You know, they all texting. And then I'm the last one to post. After that, I was the very last one to post. I guess they didn't like what I had to say. Come on, man. We family. It's okay. All I did was share some word with them. What I told them was from the Scripture. I ain't said nothing to the other. I did tell them I love you. But my wife said they're going to make the next group without you. but that's okay. Maybe they're watching tonight. Verse 36, so that on you should come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the righteous blood of Abel, to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the dwelling place and the slaughter place. So look, that's people before you, and that was Abel. They persecuted them before you, and Yeshua said, they hated me before they hated you. So you got nothing to worry about. You're not going to be like, you ain't going to be popular sometimes. It's just what it is. Y'all still with me? All right. That's some pretty good stuff. Whoa. Now, let's go to the rest of the world, because some people won't follow Yeshua. They don't want to believe. So we're going to bring the roller coaster down, but it's still going to be a little bumpy. Revelations. I remember I told my mom the other day, I said, you know why nobody want to read Revelation? You know why? Because they're afraid of it. Why? I was never taught. Never. When I was coming up in the Church of Grand Bible, not a time I can remember. Let me rephrase that. I'm not going to say never taught. But I can remember very few messages when they opened the book and said, let's go to Revelation. I don't know why. So they would play that little, back in the 80s, that little eerie song, two walking up a hill, one does the other thing. It was, it made you so afraid you didn't want to open Revelation. But it's incredible. Y'all probably know what I'm talking about. Some of you, the my age group or whatever, y'all probably know that song. Because that's what they wanted you to believe. But like I told someone, it's false. Because we're going to see what the Bible says. Not what Scott says. Let's see what the Word says. Who was the Word from? Jehovah. Chapter 8, here we go. And when he opened the seventh seal, there came to be silence in the heaven for about a half hour. I ain't trying to tell you what the time is, half hour. We're not getting into that. I'm just telling you what it says. That was silence. I mean, when I've been in court, when the judge walks in, all rise, ain't no talk. It's quiet. Only one talking is about the roll call. And we do roll call. It's quiet in there. And I saw the seven messengers who stood before Elohim, and they were given seven trumpets. And another messenger came and stood at the sort of place holding a golden censer. Where we heard that from, golden censer? You see how we need the Torah? What he has, a golden censer. I wonder where I heard that word before. And much incense was given to him, that he should offer up with the prayers of the set-apart ones upon the golden slaughter place, which was before the throne. This is where your prayers go. It goes to the one who sits upon the throne. And the smoke of the incense. I wonder where I learned that from. Oh, I told you, this roller coaster good. Y'all didn't know y'all was in for a treat tonight, huh? You think we're just going to run 30, 40 slides, and we're going to slide right here tonight. But, man, this was troublesome to me. I couldn't sleep that night. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the set-apart ones went up before Elohim from the hand of the messenger. And the messenger took the censer and filled it with fire from the slaughter place and threw it to the earth. And there were noises and thunders and lightning. An earthquake. I'm about to get into it here. And the seven messengers who held the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Well, I believe that sound is coming faster and closer than what we imagine. Some of us may not see it. It's okay. Because you are covered. Because why? The Torah tells you that. Because you're in Him. But if we do see it, what a joyous time that's going to be. For some. And the first messenger sounded, and there came to be hail and fire mixed with blood. Now, where we read that before? In the Torah, we were in Egypt when we seen the hail. Stuff's so important. You can see, declaring the end from the beginning. I mean, and the beginning from the end. Here we go. It's right here. And they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the trees were burned up. And all the green grass was burned up. And the second messenger sounded. And what looked like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died. And a third of the ships were destroyed. And the third messenger sounded. And a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch. And it fell on a third of the rivers and on the fountains of the waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And a third of the waters became wormwood. And many men died because they were made bitter. What we read with Yeshua? Throw the branch in the water. Water became sweet. But to some, it's going to be bitter. So we can see how the Torah ties in, runs parallel right here in Revelation. And the fourth messenger sounded. And a third of the sun was struck. And a third of the moon. And a third of the stars. So that a third of them were darkened. and a third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. And I looked, and I heard a flying eagle in mid-heaven crying with a loud voice. Y'all can say it. Woe, woe, woe. Ah. See the woe? How important the woe, though? To those dwelling upon the earth. Last time I checked, we were still here. You might not be here by that time. I don't know how all this is going to play out. But it's woe, 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 because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three measures who are about to sound. You know, you still there more? I'll stop right there. Because I was enough right there. I just want to show how woe you can, they're so deep in the scripture. And that's why I had to read Ezekiel, the whole chapter, to see how it all ties in, the woes together, because it's coming. The hail's coming. The rain's coming. And these whoa, 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 you know, when you're offshore, you can always know how to get in. All you got to do is follow the groundswell. If you're offshore, you want to know how to get in, follow the groundswell. Because they're always coming in. You might not wind up at your destination, but you're coming in. So, whoa, whoa, whoa. Amen? Let's get back to the spot. We take note today of how many so-called pastors and preachers who claim to study the Word are actually muddying the water of the Word and causing the people to drink a defiled presentation of the Word. Man, this was so important right here. Because I'm going to tell you know what they're going to be singing? Row, row, row. We got to get, where's that little church at in Bootville, Louisiana, in Triumph? We need to get to them people. When these whoa, whoa, whoas happen, they looking for you. I promise. They calling. They rowing, row, row down the river. They driving down here. Because troublesome times is coming. We have to be prepared. They're going to be looking for Pastor Josh, Brother Chad, Sister Linda, my wife, father-in-law. They're going to be looking for father-in-law. Where them people at? Where them Torah keepers at? The one who's obeying the laws? Who's obeying the right rulings? Where them people at? Let them talk. No matter. No. No, you boys. It's going to be for all of us. This word here tonight. Set. The sad reality is that while these false teachers and preachers study the Word, they have metaphorically not actually entered into the tabernacle structure in the correct manner, so to speak, as they have not truly come to the true door, Yeshua Messiah, for they preach a false name and Savior and teach a different day of gathering, revealing that they are actually unable to be washing the people with the pure Word, for they have simply studied a theology of the Word. Oh, also you talking about 5 minutes? So you talking about I only got 5 minutes left? I was like, oh, that was fast. You put the short CD on me. I was thinking you had to skip a couple of them tonight. Oh, boy. I'm saying this is good stuff. Preach a false name and Savior and teach a different day of gathering. I had someone just tell me the other day, I told my wife. I shared with them Exodus, I think it was 35. We talked about the Sabbath. I said, what do you think about this? Just give me your thoughts on it. Because I said, one of us is going in error. Bottom line. You know when I questioned that person, you know what they said? I believe that. I believe that. Well, if you believe that, make a change. Because to be holy is to be set apart. So you tell me what you know what holy is, but you won't be set apart. I don't understand that. That has been completely muddied and polluted through the traditions and are making people drink muddy theologies. That's a good way of putting it, brother. Of the truth, and opposed to the purity and clarity of the truth, while these false priests are feeding themselves and making themselves fat on lies, deceit, and twisted tradition, and dogmas of men. Some of them, gimme, gimme, gimme. And look, we got some good brothers and sisters out there that just, me myself believe that they teaching a good, they, I don't even know how to put it together. They preaching, they teaching, but they really need to get to the Torah, bottom line. Because you ain't no way possible. We can just go to the back of the book and read Revelation and don't even know what the golden censer is and the bowl and the laver. See ourselves. What you think we're going to wash after you wash by the water of the word? What you think you're looking into? You got to look into the labor. The labor is so important. But you can't see yourself if it's muddy. Go look in the river right now. You can't see. You can go by the edge of the rocks and you can't even see down a foot. How muddy it is. You know? That's how some of that teaching is today. Their labor is muddied. But they say, I can see. That's not the way I see it. You can't see your reflection if the water's muddy. The true set apart priesthood washes from the labor in a proper and orderly manner, adhering to the clear instruction and appointment of keeping the word. Clear instruction. A lot of times when our pastors are teaching us, when we are sheep, and they're telling us about this, some of that stuff is so clear. Real clear. Makes me wonder how for years we didn't see this. You know, but our timing is not Yah's timing. When he presents it, it's clear. Clear as can be. There's no muddy in it. We muddy it. That's what we do. That's what we say. That's not really what it means. You know, it's okay if we can put our hands in it and wash with the labor like that. We're gonna, after we muddy the water, we're trying to scoop it out like that a little bit with our hand. That don't work. Adhering to the clear instruction and appointment keeping of the word so as not to be using muddy waters to wash with. Hey, nobody goes home and want to go take a shower at the drainage canal. I know, because you ain't getting muddy water coming out of your shower. Nobody take a shower in muddy water anyway. You know, we might play it in the rain. Maybe if we'd be Miss Casey's age or one of the girls over here, we don't mind playing outside in the rain if we muddy in the yard. But when you wash off, you're looking for clean water. I know for a fact, if we still had that swimming pool, you ain't getting in that swimming pool. You're going to take the water hose to you first. But we got no pool now. And that makes me sad. Hop out. But are washed in the purity of the word by that which comes from the word itself. And in doing so, they are keeping their hands and feet clean for service unto the master. Why you have to keep your hands and feet clean? You're doing service. Not the pastor. He didn't say pastor. He's doing service for the master. And his bride through the washing of the word. This washing, spoken here in the Torah portion, Rahat, Strong 7364, speaks about keeping our walk clean before Yehovah as the people who have been washed and cleansed in the blood of Messiah. Now, that's no way of getting around that. We all have to come under the hand, cough, and let that blood had to be purified to cleanse us. Because we can't get around. We can't get in no other way to the fold. Through him. And the blood that was sacrificed for us, that half shekel that was paid, that you lift up our heads and so we had to pay to join in. Can't get around that. The Hebrew word as kabas, Strong 3526, is used in Tehillah. Wash me in Psalms 51:2. Wash me completely. from my guilt and cleanse me from my sin. Or, you know what? That nervousness off me. Because I had to have this. You have to have this. Psalms 57. Cleanse me with the hyssop, and I am clean. Wash me, and I am whiter than snow. I was doing a little, I said, man, I wonder why David said that. Purge me with the hyssop. Because, I think I'll do a little investigating, a little CSI, and check out the hyssop. It's good for you. It works as an antioxidant in your body. You can eat it. I didn't even know that. I learned something this week. You can eat hyssop. I sent it to my brother. I said, look at that. Especially good when braising on lamb, when you cook lamb. Wow. I learned that too. Man, we're going to have to grow up some hyssop. Why David said, purge me with it. Good for you. Want a healing medicine? Check out hyssop. Because it has a lot of stuff, details, that is beneficial to a lot of us that need it. We all need it. In Yaakov's blessing of Yehuda, we see this word, Kabbat, Strong's 35:26, being used in reverence to Yeshua and the work of his blood, bringing us pure garments of righteousness, as well as the fierce wrath that he would bring upon those who have not been washed in him, as he would tread the winepress in his wrath. Well, we know that's coming. You know, that day is coming where he says he's gonna tread them in them grapes. You can pull up a little video and you can watch them. And you see him in there, the lady's body, treading the grapes. That's how he come back. He's gonna tread you like a grape. I don't care what kind of grape you are. You can be a green one, a red one. You can be the big purple one. Don't matter. You can be one with seeds in it. Tread you, he said. That's wrath. And I like grapes too. In Bereshit 49:11, binding his donkey to the vine and his donkey coat to the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine and his robes in the blood of grapes. This word was also used in the instructions given to Moshe to command all Israel to wash themselves within 2 days and be ready by the third day when Yehovah would come down, meet with Israel.
That day, boy. And they're all standing there, boy, in the mountain. All what's going on is quaking. And I can see the people. After 10, don't let them speak to me no more. We're going to die. And Yehovah said, well, they have spoken and good. He said, but come on up here, Moshe. I ain't finished with you. We got more to talk about. What a time that must have been right there at the foot of the mountain. You can only imagine.
In Shemot 19, 10:11, and Yehovah said to Moshe, go to the people and set them apart today and tomorrow, and they shall wash their garments and shall be prepared by the third day, for on the third day Yehovah shall come down upon Mount Sinai before the eyes of all the people. Moshe came down from the mountain and the people and set the people apart, and they washed their garments. We too have been given 2 days to get ready, and the third day Yehovah will come down before the eyes of all the nations. Yeshua, the light of the world, came into Malia on the fourth day, and he gave his life as a ransom for many, that we may be washed all our sins from all our sins, and he has given his children 2 days. 4 and 2 is what? In the sixth millennium. 5th and 6th millennium, and get ready for the return on the 7th day. 7th millennium. It's closer. In the year 2022. Every year we're getting closer. Every day we're getting closer. This washing is an acceptance of the blood of Messiah, and our immersion in his name, where he cuts the foreskin from our hearts And we receive the circumcision from above, and not by the man, by the hands of men. And we accept and acknowledge his sacrifice and partake of his Pesach meal, that we may be covered and cleansed.
I tell you what, I love that Pesach meal when it comes around. It was so good last year. Oh, me and my brother, we put our fingers in it, boy. And even our feet in it, boy, I think.
We had our hands and foot in it. It was so good. Oh, but we got to prepare ourselves because it's coming. Coming around. Can't wait to get here. Kobah, Strong 3526, washing is the first washing. The washing spoken of in this chapter in regards to a washing of hands and feet is not Kobah's, but is Rahat's. And this speaks of our need to consistently, that is daily, be washed in the Word. You got to be prepared every day. That's just the bottom line. That's what he's saying right there. Before we leave our house, while you're at your house, you're never going to know who you're going to run into. Are you going to be a shepherd? Someone. The bronze that was used to make this basin and its stand was the bronze from the mirrors of the serving women who did service at the door of the tent of meeting in Shemot 38:8. And this is a wonderful picture for us how we are to be continually washed in the Word of truth. I had to go back and read that. I must have missed that verse. Sure enough, there's some women doing the service here also. Ladies, they're not exempt. In the slide. Mirrors in those days were not made of glass, but rather of well-beaten polished bronze that gave a mirror effect, and so every time the priests would come to wash their hands and their feet, they would be able to see the reflection of themselves in the bronze mirror and make sure that they were clean thoroughly before entering into any service unto Yehovah. We see this picture right throughout Scripture. That is, the picture of the Word has to be used for cleansing. So today we have mirrors. And what is the Torah? A mirror. You don't measure up to me. If you measure up to me, you say it. When you've got to measure up to Him, you see that mirror. Look in the Torah. You see how insufficient and incomplete we are sometimes. When we try to measure up to Him. Some good stuff. Why the priest had to wash their hands and feet only was symbolic for the work and walk. We have already been redeemed and washed by the blood of the Lamb through repentance and immersion in His name. And you know, a lot of people, in His name, what he says about that? When you go to Yeshua, New Testament, in your name, Master, we've done all these things. We cast out demons in your name. They didn't have their hands washed, running the water. They didn't have their feet clean. In your name, we cast out demons. That's serious. That is some serious stuff right there. And what he tells them? Your lawlessness. Depart from me. Oh, boy. Why? Because your hands wasn't washed. They muddied the water to the sheep. Sheep don't, you don't want to drink dirty water. Unless your sheep don't want to drink dirty water. In His name. Yet as we walk from day to day in this world, our feet pick up dirt and our hands may often engage in worldly affairs that must be dealt with and cleansed. As we look intently into the mirror of the Word and allow the Word to wash us clean so that we may serve as royal priests of the Most High. I say, if I come home with dirty hands and dirty feet, he ain't getting in that bed. I tried this today. I just sat on the edge of the bed a little bit. I leaned on the pillow and was watching my motor run. And I even when I got up, I tried to fix the bed a little bit. And I still say, you been sitting on the edge of my bed? Thought I could have hide it. You come in with dirty hands, dirty feet, it's going to tell on you. You walk around with dirty feet, we're going to see it on the carpet. Dirty hands. We ain't shaking hands.
You have to be clean. The only thing you can do that, come before the labor. Labor of cleansing. Oh boy. That's a good one. I'm going to have to add my slides to.
Then Sahila,
I was wondering if we were going to even make it there for.
24:3, ask the question. Who does go up to the mountain of Yehovah, and who does stand in his set apart place?
I'm glad y'all asked that question. Y'all might as well turn it. That's where we're going.
So we can't briefly read this slide.
We got to see it, scripture in its entirety. That's how you learn.
The earth belongs to Yehovah and all that fills it.
Right off the bat, he tells you who's in charge.
Sure, I'm not. Said the earth is his. The world and those who dwell in it, we all belong to him. All don't follow him, but it's still all his. For he has founded upon the seas and upon the waters he does establish it.
He made it.
So he asked Job, where were you when I created all this?
I'm going to ask you the same question. Where were you when he was making this? So who it belongs to? It's all his.
Who does go up to the mountain of Yehovah? And who does stand in his set apart place? He who has innocent hands and a clean heart.
That's that labor right there.
Who does not bring his life to naught and does not swear deceitfully?
What the Torah teaches?
Right ruling, not deceitfully. We don't
want to pull a little stunt like Yaakov. And try to trick our father. Can't do that. But that wasn't the reason we done that, was for a purpose because of that, because of his mother. If you listen to the full story, I only heard Pastor Isaac teach about it, but if you listen to the instruction of his mother, was telling him, son, I got insight. I know what's going to happen.
He received a blessing from Yehovah. We all want that. And righteousness from the Elohim of his deliverance. This is the generation who seeks him. Yaakov,
let me tell you something. You know what he says right here? Y'all ready for this? I know who your daddy is. Who's your daddy? Yaakov. In case you didn't know, I had 12 sons. Which one of the tribe you come from? I'm your daddy.
That's what he says right here. This is the generation of those who seek him. Yaakov.
So we know who your daddy is.
You who seek your faith, Salah.
Think about that for a moment. The earth is his, and I know who your daddy is. Yaakov is where you come from.
Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift up your heads.
What are we talking about? You lift up the heads. Keep tase. Lift up your heads. Get love.
We got a lot of work.
This stuff is incredible.
And be lifted up, ye everlasting doors.
I know some people are in here, they got a little age on them. Look at the
gray on top. That's fine. Mine's turning color too. I used to tell my uncle, I can't wait to get my turn. It's fine. But you're an everlasting door.
Hey, you might not be here 10 years from now, but that's okay. You are everlasting door. Because we learn from y'all.
And let the solvent of esteem come in. Here's the question. Who is the solvent of esteem? Yehovah. Strong and mighty.
That's a shout
right there. Huh? Yehovah. Mighty in battle. Where you see that? Not in the New Testament.
Good, brother.
We don't find that in the New Testament church, where we find Yehovah strong and mighty in battle. Y'all can say it. Torah. Come on, shepherds. Torah. Lift up your heads. What we did last week, we paid our half shekel. Lift up your heads. Don't worry about it. Let them talk. It's fine. Let them. Were we heading that slide? Let them. Okay. Oh, it's fine. Even lift up ye everlasting doors. It was so important you had to say it twice. Step out. So I'm talking about it. I take that. And let the sovereign of esteem come in. You want to be blessed? You want to prosper? Let the sovereign of esteem come in. Trust me, I had to preach to myself all this mess before I could deliver it. But I receive it. Who is the sovereign of esteem? You ask the question again. Jehovah of hosts. Whoa! If I could do like, what's his name, the director? Whoa! But I ain't got it in me. He is the sovereign of esteem. Salah. How my son did that one time? That's a drop in the mic. That's all I got tonight. I was hoping to get here. Who's the sovereign of esteem? Jehovah. Who's your daddy? Yaakov. Go back and read them slides. You'll enjoy that stuff. Let me tell you. It was a pleasure. Because I was so excited. When I got to reading this stuff, I was like, man, this stuff's so good. It'll get on you. Get on you during the night, in the morning hours. But let me tell you, when you're done, you know when it's Yahweh, and you know when it's not. And let me tell you, after it's all said and done, it's about rest. I'm looking forward to tonight. Y'all be blessed. Remember, our pastor's still on vacation. Good news, Granny is home. Man, God has been good to us.